Howard, how do we know if we're driving a car that could use biofuel virtually right now?
Well, you flip the lid for the gas tank,
Right.
and there should be a decal under there, if you've got a flex fuel vehicle, that indicates the fuels you can use. Or you go to howardbloom.net, you go to the very bottom of the navigation bar on the left-hand side, and it will show you a complete chart that will tell you whether your car is one of the 34 existing models. There are 34 models out there, Art.
All right.
Flex for fuel vehicles.
Kim, from where? Ocata, USA, whatever that is, says biofuel and a horsepower increase is just false. It actually is about 2% less power. Now, you can absolutely refute that.
According to all of the research that I've done, not only is it a 20% horsepower increase, but I think what she's referring to is this. It takes more, if you fill your tank with gasoline,
Yes.
and you get 250 miles out of a full tank.
Right.
On biofuel, you'll get 200 miles.
Well, that's.
Now, it'll cost you less. I mean, it'll cost you less absolutely in terms of the miles that you've traveled. It'll cost you less. It'll do all the things we talked about in terms of an increase in horsepower. Octane has to do with the oxygen concentration, and biofuels are the highest oxygen concentration fuels of any fuel available. So that's where your power comes from. That's why you've got a boost in horsepower.
Okay, I had always been under the impression that it was slightly less horsepower myself. So you're saying, well, perhaps so if you calculate in the mileage difference.
Well, if you calculate the mileage difference, you'll come out with the conclusion that you're losing power somewhere along the way. But the fact is, they don't run race cars on biofuels. They would not run race cars on biofuels if it weren't for that horsepower difference. That's exactly why they use biofuels.
All right. Well, that will appeal to the testosterone filled out there, no doubt.
Right.
All right. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Howard Bloom. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing? Hi, this is Fred. I'm in Festus, Missouri.
Hello there.
It's a pleasure to be talking to you. I've been trying to get through for the longest time.
Well, here you are.
And boy, am I happy. I'm a little bit nervous, but happy. Question, I mean, why is it such a hard transition to go to what's better for, you know, the whole world as far as, you know, economy and the air quality? And I mean, I know it has a lot to do with money, but it just seems like, you know, people are getting just, you know, stabbed in the back over all this.
Well, there's an answer that Art has been implying, Fred, and that is that Jimmy Carter, this is ancient history, and to a lot of people who read my books, this is before they were born, but Jimmy Carter declared the equivalent, moral equivalent of war to make us energy independent. And there was a tremendous amount of money that was being spent on alternative sources of energy, including wind power, including solar power, and I'm not sure about any of the things we're talking about now.
And that would have been about the right timing to do it, too.
It would have been the perfect timing,
Sure.
and that's about when Brazil really got into this. But then, when the Reagan administration came in the 1980s, it gutted all of those programs. The
Took
result
the
was,
solar panels right off the roof of the White
Well,
House.
What it did was we had developed these incredible wind turbines, absolutely incredible wind turbines. The Scandinavians took them over and began to manufacture them, and now they're a high revenue export business for the Scandinavians. When Enron went down the tubes,
Yeah.
there was one profitable division of Enron, and it was their wind power division, because their wind, in other words, their wind farms.
Well, actually, wind, Howard, is the lowest per kilowatt there is right now that I'm aware of. I believe around 7 cents.
Well, and it's going to get cheaper as more and more of these wind turbines get out there, and they are getting out there. I mean, you know that if you've driven through California or...
Yes, but I've really wondered, Howard. I live, as you know, in Nevada.
Right.
Here we have this wonderful combination of nearly sunshine all the time,
Right.
or very near it, and when we don't have that, we have wind, or even when we do have sun, we have wind. We have both. Nevada,
Right.
Nevada could be the wind
Energy
generation
paradise.
Capital of the Western United States.
Very good point, Art.
No question about it. Why aren't we?
Why aren't you? Nevada's politics have been very strange ever since the days of Richard Nixon. And what else can I tell you? I really don't have an answer aside from that. But the fact is that with the necessary political will, we're a country that is addicted to oil, and our administration is addicted to oil, and our administrations have been addicted to oil ever since 1980.
Yes.
And this is a major problem for us. Whatever positive values, and there are many positive values that our administrations have had, I'm sure, over the last 25 years.
Well, I differ from you a little bit. It doesn't sound to me like you feel the Bush administration has positive values, and I'm not saying they don't have some negative ones, but, you know, I think that this administration has been doing a pretty good job of responding so far to the attack on the United States.
I think I agree with you. I mean, we can't be absolutely certain because most of the stuff that is done has to be done in secrecy.
Yes.
But I very much agree with you.
Well, I think they're doing it.
Yeah.
In secret. I think they're getting it done.
Yeah. Well, again, I agree with you. Even though I'm a lifelong Democrat, and today we're, what, 27% of the population Democrats? Nonetheless, I do agree with you. When it comes to foreign policy, I believe that this administration has been doing the right thing. When it comes to domestic policy, I'm highly disturbed. But again, let's get back to, we need to get on to alternative energy. We need to do it now.
These days, by the way,
yeah.
International and national policy are not all that inseparable.
No, because again, if you look at the if you look at oil versus biofuels, if we got onto biofuels and off of oil, then that frees us from the Middle East. Now, as a Jew who's committed to Israel, do I want us to be totally free of the Middle East? Absolutely. I'm sorry. I want us to be totally free of the Middle East, period. If we support Israel, it's because of Israel, period. But I don't want this country to be hooked and addicted the way that it is right now. And the fact is that we do have an infrastructure that's already in place. The only missing piece of this biofuels infrastructure is the fact that we've only got 587 pumps, biofuel pumps, in this country out of 180,000 gas stations.
Mm.
So the choke point is the retail point for biofuels. And this is despite the fact that we can make biofuels from wheat, sugar beets, sweet sorghum, cane sugar, switchgrass, castor beans, wood, sawdust, garbage, and even manure. Human manure, pig manure. Doesn't matter. We can make it from all these things. So the potential is tremendous, Art.
Who do you think ultimately will make the decision, the hardcore decision? Will it be a political decision, or will it be a private industry kind of thing? Is money going to drive the whole thing? In other words, once price of energy goes up to a certain point, it's all automatic.
It's money and it's idealism, because, as I said, it's a tidal wave. There are hundreds of companies involved with this. Richard Branson has started a company called Virgin Fuels.
I'm aware of it.
Okay, Bill Gates has put $40 million into biofuels.
Mm-hmm.
Arnold Schwarzenegger has put a bill in front of the Californian legislators that calls for a switch to biofuels. As I said, there are 73 companies that are already producing biofuels in the United States. There are companies like Changing World Technologies that has a pilot plant in Philadelphia that's making these things from garbage. Mm-hmm. It has another pilot plant in Carthage, Missouri.
Heard about it, yeah.
Right next to a Butterball turkey factory, a ConAgra factory, one of the biggest. ConAgra is one of the two biggest conglomerates in agriculture in the world.
I know, but this is all almost anecdotal because it's so tiny. What I'm asking about is the real decision that will drive the change. Will it be political? Will it be economic?
I think it's economic, and I think what you're seeing, the number of people that Fortune, in its article, mentioned who are involved with this is overwhelming. The folks from Silicon Valley are taking their money and they're shoveling it into biofuels right now.
All right, here we go. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Howard Bloom. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Blair in Sedona, Arizona.
Yes.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, Howard, you're sort of like a hero to me. Back in October of 2001, a month after 9/11, you were on Art's show, And I'm going to try and paraphrase a little bit what you said. You said this is a society of new empowerment. You remember that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And biofuels is, to me, a transitional energy source.
I agree with you totally.
Okay. And you said that we, you know, reinvent ourselves two or three times in our lifetime, you know, horse-drawn to auto, to radio, to TV. And now
right.
you said the new form is cyberspace.
Right.
Okay, now how can we work with this new empowerment concept and get ourselves away from considering ourselves consumerist or a capitalist society and make something work and get rid of this fear mode we're in right now?
Hmm. Well, for one thing, I think that the whole consumerist idea is dead wrong. I did a speech in Manhattan about 7 or 8 months ago, basically on the spiritual fruits of materialism. And you know, if you've got a computer or if you've got a cell phone, that those two devices have taken you into entirely new virtual realms. I mean, it's just like when Daniel Defoe invented the novel back in 1710, he gave us whole new virtual landscapes, real estate to work in. And when you set foot into a novel, you set foot into a world that didn't exist before the novel existed. There are ways in which, and I seem to be getting off of your question, but one of the things that happens when you go into something new like biofuels is you get into it thinking only in terms of an extension from where you are today, and then somebody comes up with 15 new ideas for using this stuff that nobody ever thought of before. So every time you make a major energy transition or a major major techno transition of any kind, the unexpected gives you new human powers.
Mm-hmm.
And it does it through ways that our imaginations are not capable of conceiving right now.
All right.
We talked about the implicit parts of the cosmos that in that initial unfurling sheet of space-time,
right.
there were things, the quarks, and they came popping out like crazy. Well, there are tremendous things implicit in humans right now, and we will find out what they are explicitly by moving into the new realms like the realm of biofuels and solar energy.
All right. East of the Rockies, your turn with Howard Bloom.
Yes. Good morning, Art. How are you?
Just fine, sir.
I'm calling from Ontario, Canada. I'm just wondering, with all this, and good morning to you, Howard, too, by the way.
Hi. What's your name?
I'm sorry?
What's your name?
My name is Ronnie.
Hi, Ronnie.
Hi. I'm just wondering what your feeling is. You know, I've been debating this with a lot of friends in the last couple of years, you know, the hybrid as opposed to a regular fuel-type vehicle, as opposed to... you know, a totally electric vehicle. Now, I work at a company where they make batteries for satellites, actually.
Wow.
And
yeah.
the batteries that they make can power a satellite for up to 5.5 years.
Wow.
Now, yeah, they've come a long way in battery technology recently. We've really made some jumps.
It's one of the big areas where we need to go five times as far as we've ever gone before.
Yeah, but... what people forget is electric cars, even with really good batteries, ultimately that power has to be generated.
That's the big problem.
There is no free lunch.
Right, exactly. So, Ronnie, back to your question.
Well, I'm just wondering what you think about that, Howard. Though, you know, if they can do that and the technology is there, then why aren't we going beyond biofuels and why aren't we going more towards electric, where there's no emissions whatsoever?
Because the electricity has to be made by something, and it's exactly what Art just said.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons, now, it was almost the day after George Bush made his speech about oil addiction. The Department of Energy announced that it was freeing an extra $117 million for guess what? Not for biofuels, but for hydrogen.
Well, I was about to mention to you, the president's last major contribution to saying anything about all of this at all was to suggest that we move toward a hydrogen economy. Remember?
Okay, now here is my interpretation, and it's only an interpretation of why. Because, as you said, the secret, Art, is how you make the energy.
That's it.
And you do not make the energy when you burn hydrogen in your car. You're dependent on somebody else to make the hydrogen for you.
You bet.
And there are companies called Bechtel and Brown and Root and Halliburton, and they are all very, very big-time construction companies. Now, what are the biggest construction boondoggles domestically? I mean, aside from a war, they are nuclear reactors. They cost tons and tons of money to manufacture. So my suspicion is that George Bush is pushing hydrogen because the only way to make the hydrogen would be with nuclear plants. However, I was just talking to a person from General Electric tonight, before we went on the air, who's in their turbine division. Well, guess what you can... Now, turbines are used to generate electricity.
Right.
And guess what fuels you can use in turbines? Ethane, methane. In other words, you can use, or ethanol and methanol, you can use biofuels. Now, take the possibilities of, again, using sugarcane stalks, tree bark, cheese whey, the stuff left over when you make cheese and butter waste.
Yeah.
Land O'Lakes Butter is now making biofuels from cheese whey. So is a place called Golden Cheese making it. The beer companies are making it from brewery waste. Miller Beer is making biofuels.
All right, then. Do you think the president has had a change of mind? In other words,
no, not yet. I think Art, as a person who's been editing and writing almost all of his life, I can see in the sentence that in which he talked about our addiction to oil,
yes,
that it started out as an addiction to foreign oil and an addiction to Middle Eastern oil. It was only by some great stroke of God knows what that that sentence was rearranged so that it said oil addiction point blank. But I think it's going to take an awful lot of pressure from Ronnie, from you, from me, from everybody we know to get this president to realize that what he said was true. And to get him moving on to, again, the one alternative that's right under our nose.
You almost sound like you think he said it by accident.
Yes.
Oh, you do?
Yes, because he, again, his speechwriters are very, very, very good. And they write things that are so on target sometimes that it's scary. And I think that George, I think he let them rearrange that sentence so it said what he said. But again, remember, very often George Bush does the opposite in his budgeting and his funding.
So what do you think the rest of the sentence originally said?
I think it originally said exactly what I just mentioned, that we are addicted to foreign oil. We are addicted to oil that comes from insecure sources, like the Middle East, like Venezuela, like Nigeria.
Well, that's not inaccurate.
No, it's not inaccurate, but the fact is that that implies that we should be drilling in Alaska, that we should stay hooked on oil. And I think that George Bush, God bless him, and I'm an atheist, but God bless him for allowing that sentence to be changed so that it said point blank, we are addicted to oil. Now let's just get him to move on it. And even if he doesn't move on it, let's support all these people. First of all, again, call your congressmen and call your senators and tell them that you want biofuels.
Well, maybe it originally said we are addicted to foreign oil, and so we need to drill in Anwar now.
Yes, that's exactly what I think was originally written to that speech.
Oh, really?
Because the next morning, the very next morning, if you turned on C-SPAN, which I did,
yes,
do you know what they were debating in Congress and the Senate?
Anwar. Okay. Man, here's something to think about. Kyle in Calgary, Alberta, writes, and I have no idea whether he's right, but Howard, he writes, hey, Art, with current technology, a solar farm 100 miles by 100 miles would be enough to displace the entire fossil fuel consumption of the U.S.
You know, I've read figures that are very similar to that.
My God.
And there is a good probability that if you couldn't do it with one solar farm, I mean, you pointed to Nevada as a giant solar farm.
We certainly have the space. Most of it belongs to the government anyway.
Right, and it's just waiting to be.
It sure is.
That one way or the other, I think that that's close to truth. Absolutely close to truth. In fact, let me throw in some other stuff here.
Well, with the current distribution system we have, it could not be, of course, done with just one plant. But if you had one in the West, one in the Midwest, and one somewhere east, you could certainly get it done.
Well, the energy from Niagara Falls has been traveling thousands of miles for a long time.
I shouldn't have said certainly. You could, I don't know how many it would take, but with the current distribution system in mind, it could certainly be done. So you think that's valid comment?
I think it's a valid comment. We need to check it out. It might take 5 of them. It might take 15 of them, but it's a step in the right direction.
Big one, too.
Yeah, and what, you know, I've been thinking in terms of some of the questions we've been asked, what in the world do you do to make this biofuels revolution happen? One thing that you can do is walk down or drive down to your local gas station and tell them that you want a biofuels pump. Tell them that you want an E85 pump. That's 85% ethanol and 15% gasoline. When you go to buy a car,
they're probably going to say, okay, why do you want that? What kind of car are you driving?
Well, because that's the next time you buy a car. I realize you do not buy a car all that often, but when you buy a car next time, even if it's a used car, ask for a flex fuel vehicle, because these cars have been on the road in America for 10 years. You can find a 10-year-old flex fuel vehicle, or you can go down and get one of the 37 models. I mean, Chery, Chevrolet, Relais.
Out of curiosity, of these 5 million flexies out there on the road, how many do you think are actually flexing and using one of the two new fuels?
I doubt that it's more than a tenth of a percentage. 99.9% of the drivers don't even know they have them.
My God.
Now, General Motors put an ad on the Super Bowl advertising its flex fuel vehicles, and its new campaign is called Live Green, Go Yellow, and they're offering a yellow gas cap to anybody who's got a flex fuel vehicle.
All right, listen, I've got a board full of people who want to talk to you, and
okay.
I could just absorb your time, but I shouldn't. First time caller line, you're on the air with Howard Bloom. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, proceed.
Your previous subject with the Iraq
yes.
situation?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You mentioned how we were maybe suckered into getting into Iraq by
That's
the
right.
Iranians.
That's right.
Okay. I remember in the 90s during the Kosovo situation where a reporter had spent quite a bit of time there. He said that we were suckered into that situation by the KLA when they kept picking off police officers and security people,
yeah.
and he ended up getting the West to do the work for them to get rid of the Serbs.
And there's a validity to that.
Yeah, okay, well, so we get, I guess we get pulled into a lot of things for various reasons.
Well, the Kosovo Liberation Army was an Islamic army. Osama bin Laden was putting a lot of money, and this is not kidding around, just read his speeches and he'll tell you this. He was putting a lot of money and manpower into the Kosovo situation. We were brought in on one side. There were two sides that were committing atrocities. One side was the Islamic side, which we know of as the Albanians. I mean, it's the Albanians. And the other side was the Christian side, and the Christian side was producing genocide, and the Islamic side was trying to produce genocide. And we should have been stopping the genocide in both cases,
all right.
on both fronts.
All right. Question, Howard. If we catch and or kill Osama bin Laden tomorrow...
Nothing stops.
Well, you anticipated me.
Nothing stops.
All right.
First of all, remember the song, John Brown's Body Lies a Moldering in the Grave, but
yeah.
His Truth Goes Marching On?
Yeah.
A man who has established himself as a historical icon...
Mm-hmm.
Is a man whose spirit is going to live on for a long time to come. And Osama has established that mark on history. And again, this is a 1,400-year-long global war, world war. And the one religious system that is set up for global governance and has been from the very beginning is Islam. I'll leave that dangling without explaining it because we're...
Short on time. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Howard Bloom. Hi.
Good morning, Art and Howard.
Yes.
This is Vince from Denver, and my question is this. I've heard it said that there's more oil shale reserves in Colorado than there is oil reserves in Saudi Arabia. My question to you would be, if we could find a way to bring it out as cheaply as we could buy Middle East oil, would you, and thereby making the U.S. Independent of foreign sources of oil, would you still be against the use of oil?
I'd say kick it out, forget it. What we have to get off oil one way or the other. There are also vast oil shale fields in Canada. Forget it. Forget oil. It's time to get oil out of our system.
Well, there's the atmosphere issue as well.
Absolutely.
And that's not a trivial issue. It really isn't. We've got to stop burning fossil fuels.
Right.
That's all there is to it. We've got to. Or else. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Howard Bloom.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
This is Jeffrey. I'm calling you from the hurricane-ravaged Gulf Coast.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Jeffrey.
I have a question. Actually, it's a statement, then a question. I have noticed that, and I defy anybody to tell me different, that in the 70s, early 70s, a gentleman came out with a carburetor that would get 50 and 60 miles to the gallon, and a petroleum company snapped up the patent on that and set on it.
Yeah, well, is there any truth to that, Howard? Have you?
Well, I frankly have to tell you that I wouldn't know. I've heard stories like that for a long time.
We all have.
Myth. Yeah. And it's very hard to tell. We do know that British Petroleum has a very active alternative energy department, but whether they're sitting on things and hiding them from us instead of getting them to us, it's hard to say.
Sir, they probably got that carburetor. They got it in deep into Detroit somewhere, and they squeezed the inventor right through it.
I'll tell you something very, very fishy. In doing the research on biofuels, General Motors announced, both General Motors and Ford announced that they're going on major programs to make biofuels available at your gas station, at a gas station near you. Now, I told you we've only got something like 187 or 587 pumps in a country with 180,000 gas stations. Do you know how many new pumps they're putting in this massive effort that they're doing with Sun Oil?
How many?
Or Shell Oil, sorry. They're putting in additional 75 pumps.
Yeah.
That's nothing.
Well, see, that's exactly what I really wanted to know. It seems to me it's got to be the oil companies that do this, and until it is the oil companies, it ain't going to get done.
And I agree with you totally. I mean, we had a head of a branding company who works with one of the major oil companies who came out to this very bedroom about 4 months ago. And I told him, look, Shell is going to be dead in 25 to 30 years if they don't realize that their future is the future of energy, and the future of energy is getting off of oil and onto the next form of energy.
Do you believe we're at peak oil?
Yes, I do believe. I mean, you know, in a sense, it's irrelevant. Yes, I believe that we're going to peak, but we need to get off of oil one way or the other for the very reason that you just mentioned. Right now, we are eating carbon in forms that are unacceptable to our bodies. We are eating poisons we're breathing poisons.
Well, you
see,
we might
as well be eating them.
Howard, in a couple of more hurricane seasons, maybe even just one, American awareness is going to jump up several levels. I can promise you that.
Well, there's a tricky thing there, and that's a whole different subject for another time, but there have been 144 mass extinctions on this planet long before there were human beings and long before we were turning out carbon dioxide, and the lesson of that is we have to become adaptable to change no matter what, because nature's going to throw it at us if we don't throw it at ourselves.
Well, nature has begun to throw it at us, Howard. It's just a matter of when people stop buying it's just a freakish peak of all peaks and valleys. There is a real weather change going on, Howard.
Right, and that's nature's norm. You know that the carbon dioxide level in the atmosphere has been 200 times what it is today, long before a human being ever appeared on this planet.
Mm-hmm. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Howard Bloom. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, sir. Go ahead.
As sort of a philosophical question, what do you think, Howard, about closing our borders as far as terrorists coming in? And then I was also thinking on the other side of the coin, when Ronald Reagan was doing the Star Wars research.
Yes.
And you were talking about microwaves and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you know, what good would any of them do if, you know, hijackers can come in, terrorists can come in and hijack a plane and go through a building? And one last thing, I wanted to
know, a nuclear power plant or something of the sort.
Yeah, that's a couple of good questions, really. Some of the Star Wars technology could be used in the power gathering and transmission satellites that we were talking about a little while ago. But
that would be terrific.
Please do comment on the border situation.
The border situation, America's great strength in the world. Look, we all know that the coming century is, in all probability, going to be the Chinese century. and because they've got 1.25 billion people, and those people have been students. They have been busy studying. They have been accustomed to working night and day for at least 2,200 years now. They put out their first encyclopedias 2,000 years ago. There are five times as many of us as there are of them. If we want to stay ahead in this world, it's because we have the advantage of being a mongrel culture who have taken the best of all kinds of different cultures. There are Slavic peoples here. There are Anglo-Saxon peoples here. There are African-American peoples here. And every time we gain a new kind of people, it gives us a new kind of energy and a new kind of strength. So if we're going to compete with the Chinese successfully in the next century, it's going to be in part because of the creativity and innovation that is created by our hybrid nature.
I really would be hard pressed to argue with that. I really do agree with that. And I know there's a big angry movement right now with regard to the borders, but what you say has great merit, and I don't think that a nation can afford to just sort of stick its head into the sand, and if it does, then others will race right by it.
Well, the last time that people tried sticking their heads in the sand in a big way was about 600 A.D., and do you know what happened as a result? Something called the Dark Ages, and it was horrible. Half of the population of Europe died because everybody decided to be enclosed and safe.
Mm-hmm. Well, remember the bird flu. First time caller line, you're on the air with Howard Bloom. Hello.
Hello, Howard and Art. I have a problem with Mr. Bloom's assertion that ethanol and methanol are such great things after watching Ralph Nader testify against these fuels.
All right. What did he say that made you buy into it?
Well, Mr. Green Party himself came out and pointed out the Office of Congressional Research had shown that ethanol and methanol is very harsh fuel on vehicles. You definitely have to have a vehicle.
It's very harsh on vehicles, and that's why the invention of the flex fuel engine has been such a remarkable thing, because whereas these fuels will corrode a normal vehicle, they'll just eat through it. They will not eat through a flex fuel vehicle. These are vehicles that have been specially made so they can handle either ethanol, methanol, or gasoline. So
regardless of that, Nader pointed out that the Office of Congressional Research had shown that the ethanol and methanol vehicles increased, in some cases, hydrocarbons, definitely increased ozone pollution, and were known to produce the carcinogen formaldehyde when you burn any type of alcohol.
Well, okay, let me step in, Howard, and make it easy on you. You're not really suggesting these as permanent replacements for oil.
No, they're a temporary stop along the way.
Temporary.
Yeah.
Headed toward,
first of all, the plug-ins, which only become practical, as you know, Art, once the source of energy for producing the alternatives, the gasoline or the hydrogen, once those become sustainable.
Like with the power gathering group of satellites in orbit.
The power grouping satellites in orbit, turning Nevada into one of the biggest energy centers in the world, et cetera.
Okay. East of the Rockies, you are on the air with Howard Bloom. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. Good morning, Howard. How are you gentlemen today?
Hi.
I'm in South Dakota. We are, and you were talking about the ethanol, we currently have like six ethanol plants here in Sioux Falls, or in South Dakota. They got like another 17 on the book, so this is something
that is going on. 120 million gallons a year.
Oh, yeah. They're huge. Like I said, they got 17 more on the books that they want to have completed in the next 2 to 3 years. So, I mean, this is something that's not going to go away. It's here to stay for a while anyway.
Right.
Now, you said there's how many ethanol pumps right now in the U.S.?
587.
It's not enough for Rhode Island.
No, it's not. I know in the last, I'll be honest with you, the last couple of years, they've really sprung up here in South Dakota, but then we're in corn country, too, so that would be part of it.
Well, one of the remarkable things about ethanol and methanol is that a state like Missouri has gotten very into, okay, if the Americans don't want to become energy independent, that doesn't mean that we in Missouri don't want to become energy independent, so let's become energy independent. And they are pushing the heck out of using their own fuels made in their own territory. You can't make gasoline in any territory you choose, but you can make ethanol and methanol in any Midwestern state you choose. They're talking about having a Midwestern ethanol corridor, and turning, well, Illinois and Missouri are the two states that are leading right now. But you're right, South Dakota has one of these giant plants that's being that has been up and operating and is run by Verison, which is a company that both General Motors and Ford have partnered with for this biofuels revolution. And as I said, it's a very weak start to a biofuels revolution when you're only putting in an extra 70 pumps. But that's where we've got to all put the pressure. That's why it's in my neighborhood, where gasoline is frowned on even though everybody owns an SUV. If we all just walked down to our local gas station a block and a half away from here and told them in no uncertain terms we want an ethanol or methanol, a biofuels pump, believe me, with enough pressure, they'd put one in.
Do you own an SUV, Howard?
No, I own a pair of shoes, actually bedroom slippers, and I go everywhere by subway and foot. But if that New York is one of the only cities you can get away with that in the world.
Well, that's true. That's true. In New York City, you can indeed get away with that. I just wanted to see if indeed you were, well, walking the walk.
Walking the walk.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Howard Bloom and not a lot of time. So.
Okay. Good morning, Art and
morning.
Howard. Good to talk to you. I'm actually really happy to get through because I'm in a business program here in Northern California in Santa Rosa, and we're studying sustainable business practices, and my focus is actually to start a business that has an alternative fuel station.
That would be great.
As its core business model. So I've got a lot of connections already established in that field. My question to you is, what role do you see yourself having in this developing business and industry?
Well, about 2 weeks ago, when I discovered that this is an avalanche about to happen, it is a tidal wave about to happen, I turned to all of the members of the Aerospace Technology Working Group and said, guys, are we really necessary? And all of the guys said yes. And my role in life has generally been as a catalyst because I work across disciplines.
Okay, we're almost out of time.
Yeah, in so many different directions, it's pulling people together and pulling together a coalition of all of these hundreds of companies that are involved so we can push this through like crazy.
All right, caller, a yes or no answer. Your business model that you wrote up?
What about it?
Does it show it's profitable?
So far, things are looking good.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Howard, it has been a pleasure to have you on. It always is.
You're a joy, and you've gotten me to say things that I have never said on the air before. I'm sure I'm going to lose all of my readers. So.
I doubt that. You want to plug your website or something?
Yeah, howardbloom.net. And again, to find out whether you've got a flex fuel vehicle, go down the left-hand side of the page to the bottom. And the other website is bigbangtango.net.
All right. You've done it. Good night, Howard.
All right. You're a joy.
Take care.